Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast. I'm Shane Northrup, mixer and producer at Golden State Media Concepts, and today we are bringing you a special treat, the best of the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
And it's not out of some weird principle. It's just that's just tends to be what happens.
But would you say that Finding Dory would be
Finding
the one
Dory,
that
I
would
think
get you thinking about?
I think there's going to be more memorable parts to me. If I'm 80 years old and I've forgotten what my grandkids' names are, I'll at least know, hey, those, you know, sea lions in Finding Dory.
Oh, they stole the show.
They
man.
Did steal the show.
And that was Idris Elba, who was one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
They did a fantastic job.
General.
There were several parts where I'm laughing out loud.
Yeah.
I like that.
It was a great.
I don't know, though.
And I also think
this one might have been funnier, actually. This one might have been funnier than Finding Nemo.
I don't know if I can go there
because
those guys were funny, but Bruce and the Australian sharks were really funny, too, in part one.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
true.
But the sea lions were amazing.
I love the crabs in part one. Hi, hi. Or like, my. You know, there were so many funny things about Finding Nemo. I think you need to watch it again.
I think the great thing about them both, and now that you're saying that, that's something I'm realizing about Finding Dory, is that normally when you do a sequel and you do a reboot, you're doing a lot of rehashing. You're doing a lot of this and that. And we've kind of
there wasn't too much
that
of that,
like
though.
Yeah, there wasn't too much of that. It was good.
No. That's the cool
it was
thing.
A solid
they
story
did
line.
Just the bare minimum of things to say, hey, these two movies are from the same, you know, cut from the same cloth. But they introduced so many new characters, and they did so many things that if they brought a third movie in, those were characters that were remarkable in their own, you know?
I agree.
Yeah.
It's a true testament when you can make a film that's a family film, but it's a film for everybody, for adults, for kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I'll say about Finding Dory, what I wanted to mention real quick was that you know, themes that I enjoyed were family, knowing who your family is, looking for your family, and realizing that you have a new family. Family isn't always blood. It can be blood, but it can be people who adopt you and bring you in and consider you family.
Right. Yeah.
And Dory, you know, that's a good theme for that movie was family.
Can I add just one more to that?
Sure.
Just Keep Swimming. I like that.
Yes.
Just keep swimming.
That could be applied to life, period, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's a movie for all ages. And if you've seen Finding Nemo, go see Finding Dory.
Go see it.
Fantastic.
It's worth it.
I know.
Yeah,
now you see me, too. You guys really liked the movie. I liked it as well.
I thought it was an excellent film. I thought it was better than Now You See Me. And Now You See Me was great.
Me, too.
I think that
– I'll go with that.
The two movies, they didn't – that. Well, Now You See Me, too, did feel like a sequel. But for totally different reasons – they didn't feel as much of a sequel as the first ones did. I think it's because Now You See Me is such – it felt more like a companion piece because it's a completely different style. It felt like a different attitude coming in.
Well, I like what you said about it being two different movies,
well, it's
two different
because
stories.
I think Now You See Me, the first one, really depended on the mystery. So in Now You See Me 2, they had to make this movie that was successful because of the mystery work without it. And they did a good job. It's something that I could see again. Now, Finding Dory – I didn't feel like it was a sequel, but that's for a completely different reason. It's because it's a movie that they made their own so well. It takes place in the same world, but it didn't feel like there was any rehashing. They made a completely different movie, and it's a completely different movie that's just as successful. In my opinion, I liked it more than the first one. So I think it's Pixar at its finest.
Uh-oh. You like the sequel more so than the original?
I did, yeah. That's
this is the first one
very
for
unusual,
Jordan.
Yeah.
All right, right on.
I feel the universe imploding a little bit.
I know, right?
Things are not looking good for us, yeah.
Uh-oh. It's a sign of the times.
I think the idea would be to get the Alva cellar before you have the shower.
Ah, good man, Wilson. I was wondering who would be first to spot that.
Well, if you're going down in the shower and you're all nice and clean, you'll be breaking out in a sweat when you, by the time you fold it up the steps out of the
talk
shower.
To me, so, Jordan, Mariana, so talk to me about The Nice Guys. What's going on with that movie? What's it about? What's the premise?
The premise is it's based in 1970s Los Angeles,
okay,
which is a funny time, you know, with the different the way that they dress, the hairstyles, the mustaches.
Yeah, it's a great place to put a detective in.
Exactly, especially for a funny movie.
Yeah.
Now, it's Ryan Gosling, who's this private eye, but he's a little off his game, a little, you know,
bumbling kind of?
Bumbling. That was
bumbling, yeah, yeah.
And then there was Russell Crowe. He's, you know, he's the hired muscle. And they're looking for someone that had, you know, turned up missing. And so they kind of fell into this weird, like, I help you, you help me dynamic. And it was, you know, it seems like a lot of fun.
So, yeah, you're right. So it's like they don't start off being friends or buddies. And right. How they meet is kind of humorous and violent.
Which, whenever, you know, we say this, I mean, keep in mind, it sounds like a generic cop story that we're describing. But it's definitely not. It doesn't feel like, oh, he's got to partner up with a monkey now, or, you know, him and the dog.
It's, not at all.
It does have an original feel to it, despite it sounding like a cliche. We're not doing that justice. It was I definitely didn't feel like, oh, not this again at any point in the movie. It felt very refreshing. I think Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling help keep it refreshing. But all above, even if there were two different actors there, God forbid that, it would still be just a very nice, well-written, made movie. So
I totally agree, but that did speak to me a lot about Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling really have this ability to carry a movie.
No, they do, and their chemistry was dynamite. Right? It really was.
Because, like, I wasn't expecting that casting at all. You know what I mean? I never would have said, put those two in a movie.
Exactly, me neither. No. But that's
and
why
it worked.
That's why it was so exciting to me when I saw it.
Yeah, I agree.
No, yeah, it didn't seem as obvious as, like, John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell, but
It
worked really well. They helped make the movie, but if they weren't in it, my thing is I don't think that it would have been, you know, it would have been a terrible movie regardless.
Agreed.
But they did their charm and their, you know.
Well, I mean you're right. When a script is written well, it shouldn't matter what actors are in the movie. But because of those two guys, I don't know if that would have worked with anybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they were so good together, and it was
they
such
did
a
play off
contrast.
Each other well.
Yeah, you know, and then like Ryan Gosling's daughter in the movie, she steals the show. I mean, she's great. I mean, it's.
But I want to say, don't see this on the account that Ryan Gosling and Russell Crowe are in it, because even I want to say, if you hate Russell Crowe, if you hate Ryan Gosling, once again, God forbid. But if for either one of those people. This movie, I think, could even kind of change your opinion of the two, because it is a strong enough movie, and it's a really strong performance by both of them.
But why would you hate Ryan Gosling?
I know. Check yourself into a mental hospital.
I don't know.
You know, yeah. I mean, the one, you know, he's a heartthrob, and I'm not even hating on it. You know, because he's also a really good actor. I mean, he does some dark and good stuff, so he's not just
maybe
a pretty
if
face.
Someone who's like dated Ryan Gosling in the past, and it was like a rocky relationship, and she has some bad blood going on. Sweet.
Man, leave Ryan alone, man. Leave him alone.
I'd ask her to go see the nice guys.
What? I mean,
this isn't about me and Ryan.
Did he stop taking your
phone
calls? I mean, what's going on?
You're very pretty. He's crazy.
Just cut it out. It's not a big deal. I'm fine.
You're over it?
Yeah.
The breakup?
It's whatever. He's a great actor. It's a good movie, guys. Come on.
Yeah, but yeah, I enjoyed it. It was a nice twist and turns. There was lots of surprises in it. There's some good campy humor in it that goes with the film. And you know, there's some stuff in the film too that was kind of like disturbing, disturbing, and there was some stuff that was disturbingly innocent at the same time. If that makes any sense, what I'm saying.
That makes total sense.
I think so. Yeah,
I think that added to the point that I was talking about earlier. The fact that there's something disturbing and something so innocent makes the disturbing more disturbing, and that creates that beautiful contrast. It's all about contrast.
You're right. And Shane Black did a really good job with it with this film. It's a great – yeah, it might be the best buddy movie of the year.
I think so. And, you know, it's funny that you say campy, because it has that set a 70s situation setting. And we've seen so many detective, cop, set in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
Some of them actually filmed in the 70s. But they have these tropes that they play over and over again that you expect. And while there are some of those tropes in it, I think they do a really good job at putting – they don't feel like overplayed whenever they're in the movie. It feels almost like a fresh spin. And I don't know if you can say that's because of the amazing cast in it or just the movie itself or maybe a combination of both. But I feel like if, you know, one of them had a monkey partner for a while or some – you know, very
what's
basic.
What's up with
you
and the obsession with monkeys and partners, dude?
I think that's like the official, like the worst of the worst.
Which way you can, or anyway, or
you know what I'm saying? Then yeah, you're finishing your my point for me.
Like, I know exactly what you're saying, and let me add to your point by saying this. I agree. I feel like there's three legs to that tripod, and you're right. The actors were great. The movie was written very well, but the third thing that makes it not so generic seeming is it's been a while, at least in my opinion, since we've had one of these like Starsky and Hutch type movies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, okay. We've been due.
And yeah. So you
and
think
this one, and this one didn't disappoint.
A big part of this is just kind of bringing back something we haven't seen in a while.
Exactly. And it causes that kind of nostalgia.
All right.
I do feel a nostalgia with the movie. So, I mean, you enjoyed it though. So all around.
Oh, absolutely. Oh yeah. I'm totally defending your point. I feel nostalgia for movies all the time, especially when they bring up something that reminds me of a younger period, you know?
And yeah.
That is something that this movie did very well. Maybe that's why they kept it lighthearted, because when you get nostalgic, you're more susceptible.
Yeah.
And they did a good job. It was profound, but not too profound.
It had a good balance in it. I mean, it's lighthearted, but not completely. And the trailer is great because it makes you think it's going to be just one way throughout the whole film. And that's not the case at all.
I gotta say, not at all. The trailer, like, it was good. It made me want to see the movie. It made me very excited about the movie.
Right. It did its job.
Just the poster made me want to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear you. But, yeah, I mean, the poster, the previews. But once you get there, you got more for a ride in store. And it's good.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
I love when movies do that, actually. That's a very good point.
Yeah, definitely. So the three of us definitely say that The Nice Guys is definitely something worth rewatching a few times.
Go watch it for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, get it while you can. It's a great film. I will be buying that one.
And we are coming up on a break. But if you stick around, Jordan and Keith will be talking about The Conjuring in just a minute.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be.
I'm going to quit if we don't review The Conjuring 2. Hi, this is Jordan speaking, and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast with Jordan, Keith, and
Mariano.
Okay.
I can go.
Oh, do you have something? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think me and Mariano have even seen the movie, so yeah, you go ahead. You can take the lead.
Right. What am I going to do with this guy? So, where do I start, dude? I'm the worst critic when it comes to horror films. And let me explain that. What I mean is that most horror movies annoy me and get on my nerves because there's no common sense and I get agitated. I don't get scared, I just get agitated because it's so clichéic and formulaic. I did not feel that way.
I know
Conjuring 2.
I know exactly what you mean, and that bothers me too. I love nothing more in a horror movie than when the people in it are intelligent.
Yes.
Like think The Faculty. Yes. Do you remember that? The high schoolers were smart, right?
Yeah. Robert Rodriguez, I believe.
Yeah.
The Faculty?
The Faculty. But they knew what they were doing. They were athletic. They were quick. They made things happen. I like that.
Yeah, that was a cool little alien horror film.
Exactly.
Movie.
Like,
that was dope.
The newer horror movies, like Scream was a good one, too.
Yes.
But then there were the girls are a little too ditzy and the guys are too macho stupid. And
it gets cliche.
Yeah.
Like in the Friday the 13th movie.
Right.
Much.
Exactly.
Yeah, it just becomes a running joke after a while with those.
Yeah. But I think they Conjuring, own it at this point. But
both of the Conjurings were clever.
Dope.
Right? Dope. Yes. Yeah, dope is right.
Yes. Conjuring 2 was awesome. I was pleasantly surprised because Jordan's like, oh, we got to review this. And I was like, oh, I don't want to see this.
What?
Well, because I hadn't seen the first one.
Oh,
I was just like,
okay.
I get
like,
it.
Oh, I love it.
Are you trying to go to jail?
I know, right?
No, I get where you're coming from because horror movies are so hard to love. And the thing is, there's just so many bad ones. The market's saturated with terrible horror movies.
Agreed.
And it kind of makes you scared to like invest your time in something that you're going to find so many things just, you know, facepalming, you know?
Right. So let's let people know. So Conjuring 2 is based off of this real-life couple. That's Ed and Lorraine Warren. Vera Farmiga plays Lorraine. Patrick Wilson plays Ed Warren. They're a great paranormal psychologist type of couple. They're awesome. She's a medium, and
with great chemistry.
Yeah, and he's a demonologist. And this is a horror film, but it's also a love story about this couple and how they like to help people. you know, how they feel it's their duty to help people in need when it comes to demonic possessions and stuff like that in the haunted houses. And what's cool about this franchise with The Conjuring is that you see them also talk about debunking when houses are not haunted.
Right.
So you never see that in a horror franchise where, I mean, it's really based in reality and they're like, okay, no, you were imagining things. That's not the case. But over here, oh, that is the case. And then they're working with the church. So I'm not used to seeing all that unless it's on some exorcist stuff. You know what I mean?
You know what? Who's
going first?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Rock, paper, scissors?
I always win. Okay, I forever
okay,
win.
Okay.
So
they really are.
Okay, he drew rock. I had scissors. All right, you go, Maria.
No, let the record show I never, ever, ever lose ever. So that's not a joke.
This is how we're going to settle everything now. Challenge accepted, bro.
Now, yes. To take off of your point, I totally agree. And one other piece that I love that I felt gave it some kind of gravity, some kind of sense of extra realism that other horror movies don't, is that for those of you who haven't seen the first Conjuring, spoiler alert, okay? In the first Conjuring, I won't give it away for the
dangerous
second.
Words.
For the second is,
well, yeah, well, you can do that because that one's been out for a few
right.
years.
But some people, you
that's
know,
on them at this point. That's
exactly.
on them.
Okay, fine. Then watch the movie. What's wrong with you? Now, as the medium, it's not just, you know, they go around like solving these mysteries. Each time they do what they do, it takes a toll on them. Yeah. And it really starts to wear, and especially on her, because she's the medium and she's the one who senses and feels these terrible things.
Yeah.
And she explains in the first one that she just can't do this forever.
That's not a spoiler alert, bro. I mean, that's a good thing that you said, because that's pivotal to what we're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. I just wanted it to be said. But
it's not a Scooby-Doo mystery tour thing. It seems like when you watch a movie and you watch another one, you see the effects of the last one.
Exactly.
And that's what's really cool about it. It's not... It feels more canonized, you know? It feels very special. It feels they have this more interconnection together that's not just the characters. That, by the way, the characters, even if they didn't have that connection, still make the movies on their own. They're fantastic.
Right.
They do so well together. Their chemistry together, you know,
talking about Ed and Lorraine?
Yeah, Ed and Lorraine. Yeah. Also, their chemistry with, you know, whoever's getting haunted at, whoever the ghost. In any of the movies that Lorraine's been in, you know, her older self, her younger self, she's been phenomenal. She's just a fun character to watch. And she's someone that you can really root for, because a real bad pitfall when it comes to horror movies is you really hate the people that you're supposed to like.
You didn't get that with this movie.
You don't. You never get that with them.
You really like them.
And I want to go ahead and say one thing else that I believe with it. Now, I've watched a lot of bad horror movies, like I've said. I've seen so many that I've been disappointed with. The thing is that a lot of people think that they don't want to give another horror movie a chance because we've had our classics and we're done. Everything's just going to be garbage because what's been done is done.
Right, but no, this is a new classic for sure.
I think it proves that horror can be even better than it's ever been, because technology today with movies is making it more – the potential is more and more amazing.
Agreed.
We've always just been lacking that storyline, and The Conjuring is a movie that delivers so hard.
I agree. And you
go ahead.
I'm sorry. Do you know what I think makes it deliver so hard?
What's that?
This was – I just was talking about this to someone before we did this, and this was explained to me perfectly. Now, throughout the movie, don't you guys agree there were so many instances where you were expecting a scare and it didn't happen?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. That was very
I
know where you're going.
That, right?
Yes. Doesn't, when I was watching it, I was like, yeah, here it comes.
And here it exactly, and it doesn't, and that builds the tension, and it makes it, when it does happen right after that and you're not expecting it,
I agree.
So much worse.
I agree.
The timing was perfect. The only other movie that I've seen like that in terms of timing was The Hills Have Eyes.
Okay,
and that was another movie. I'm a favorite.
Well, I think those are remakes.
I think we're compatible.
I mean the remake, not the second one, but the first one.
Now, what I really liked about this is, and I think in any kind of these haunting movies, there's these times, and most of the time it's in the daylight, where I like to imagine it kind of like we're a roller coaster, where you're going down and you're going in, and it feels intense and insane, but you know that you're going to hit a slow point at one, you know, and you're kind of waiting for that slow point. To kind of take a breather, kind of take a break. This was the first movie that when I was watching it, I was like, kind of get to the daylight already. I kind of need a break. I'm getting so nervous about what's going on.
You know what? I had the exact same feeling, but not in a bad way. I love the down
points. No, it wasn't a bad way at all.
Those were the injections of realism. It was really creepy. It was really suspenseful. The timing of it all was perfect. The, you know, like the the things that they drag out, like just creepy sounds, were all really good.
Yeah.
Oh, and God. Then it breaks the sound
it up.
Effects.
Right. And then it breaks it up with Ed and yes. Lorraine Warren and the things that they deal with on a daily basis. And that yes. that back and forth was very good to me.
And yes. When I make the roller coaster analogy, I want to make it clear that I think that when I say that, that has nothing to do with the character interaction, the storyline itself, but that goes just for the
pace,
scares.
The pace
yeah,
of the movie.
Pacing of the horror.
Right.
They did the pacing so well, and I mean this in the best way possible. For the first time, I was like, give me a break here. I need a second to breathe. Let it be morning for a second, because
I agree.
Well, okay.
I'm so, getting uncomfortable.
Well, what I want to say is this in regards to Conjuring 2. The first one took place in America.
Mm-hmm.
This one takes place in England, because we didn't even tell people that.
Right, right. Yeah.
So, we didn't.
we raved
about
it.
We missed so many.
Right. So, and basically what happens is, you know, a single mom's living with her family in an English home. And, you know, it just starts, things just start going crazy. And what I liked about this and the difference between this one versus the first Conjuring is that when other people, you know, when... What was cool about this is, like, you see things going bad quickly, and my favorite first scene is when, you know, the family realizes something's wrong and they all just run out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, that reminded me of Amityville Horror, and that was common sense. So I like that, because in other films that doesn't happen, and I liked that, you know, this movie shows you more upfront things are going wrong that other people can see than in the first Conjuring.
You think they're generally smarter.
What? So like in the first Conjuring, you know, it took a while before, like, okay, something's wrong. And this one, it seemed quicker, but in this one you had skeptics who were more harsh
right.
than in the first one.
I agree.
So I liked all that. I liked that they had to fly to England and that they're still working with the church. And yeah, it was just cool. But yeah, I wanted to mention that. And there's a little, well, there's a girl, the one daughter, who's played by Madison Wolf. She plays Janet Hodson, and her mom is Frances O'Connor, who plays Peggy Hodson.
Right.
Janet, you know, she almost steals the show as the little girl. She did a great job. I think both
little girls did a good job.
Yeah.
And can I just say really quick, I like the single mom dynamic. I like when things, I think what you were trying to say was, you see things going bad immediately, but you see them not realize it at first.
Right.
And yeah. As they start to realize, I like seeing the mom stress out, because that to me was another little piece of realism.
And it was real.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so we've got glowing recommendations. I think it's a testament to how much we thought a movie that we couldn't even tell you the setting, because we got so caught up in it.
Up next, Jordan, Keith, and Mariano talk to you guys about the Batman versus Superman movie. And after that, Keith and Mariano talk to you guys a little bit about Bad Moms. You're not going to want to miss it. Stick around.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Okay, so we're back now. We are, I promise. And
that's Jordan, I believe.
This is me, and that's Keith.
The famous Jordan, yes.
And we also have Mariano. So
yes.
Now that we're back, we're going to be doing our wrap-up. I think we have a lot to say about Batman versus Superman, which is good.
The Ultimate Edition.
Yes. The Ultimate Edition, of course.
Yes.
I think we were talking about it in the break. My one thing that I wish that we could still do. I wanted to see more Wonder Woman in the movie.
I agree.
Wonder Woman, and I understand not putting Cyborg. I understand not doing Flash and Aquaman yet. But I feel like if Wonder Woman's already in there, just go ahead, throw her in.
I agree. I mean, I like what I got, but you can never have enough Wonder Woman. So
absolutely,
she's great. I'm looking forward to her movie. Gal Gadot, you're awesome. We're excited. This is a really big deal. I mean, this is a big deal. We finally found somebody to take that mantle from Linda Carter, who was the original Wonder Woman in the TV series, who's still around. So
happy about that. So, yeah, I agree with you, Jordan. Yeah, we could have got some more of that. My complaint would be, give me – I could have taken 10, 20 more minutes.
Yeah.
No, but I don't want to be fanboy.
I'm an hour, yeah. And it would have been grueling. I would have finally had to take a pause, but that's what DVDs and Blu-rays are for. I think one thing that happens with DC heroes lately as far as like in the public's eye, besides Batman – people don't really take DC's superheroes very seriously. I mean, people have made some jokes.
Well, they take Superman serious. Yeah. I mean, Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman are actually they're the three iconic people in the DC universe that everyone recognizes.
I hear, and yeah, within the DC universe, but I think as Marvel's kind of popularity explosion came across, I see a lot more people making jokes about like how Wonder Woman's big thing is, you know, a rope, or how Aquaman's thing is talking to fish, or Superman's pretty much God, but except for a rock. But I think the movie did a good job and what a lot of people are seeing, and that's why I wanted more Wonder Woman, is that it's kind of restoring respect to DC superheroes. They're kind of catching up, and now they're kind of getting more than just Batman's respect. I mean, Wonder Woman looked amazing in the movie, and I know for a fact a lot of people were kind of expecting something that was going to be below average because they know nothing about Wonder Woman other than the fact that she's a woman in tights and with a rope. But this movie showed how cool, how like...
Yeah, she's a mighty smart, wise Amazon who's kind of timeless, actually. You know, who can fly occasionally and has an invisible jet. But yeah, lasso of truth. But yeah, she comes from a matriarchal society.
The biggest significant thing about me is that From the bit, you know, that you see of Wonder Woman, they did a good job. Like, it looks like she's heading in the right direction for a great movie. So I'm excited to see things like Aquaman, who's everyone – he's the biggest joke of super. Can we agree with that, people?
For a lot of people, he was. He never was for me.
Well,
you have
a lot of respect for DC heroes and just like superheroes.
Yeah, but he never was. But Jason Momoa, who plays Aquaman, looks even more mean than Batman and Superman. So I'm excited to see his portrayal of Aquaman because he looked rough.
His name is Arthur Curry, right?
Yes. Yeah, but beyond our like personal opinions, kind of generally.
No, I'm talking about the movie.
Aquaman doesn't really merit a lot of respect. Well, I'm excited to see what they do.
He does lately. Because once again, you're speaking from someone who doesn't really read comic books. So within the last few years, actually, he does. So, but in the past, yeah, there were people who would make jokes about him, who had puns about him. But his writing has been really good for a little while now.
Yeah.
So that's why you're going to see him in Justice League, and you're going to see him with his own movie, because now people are appreciating who he really is, because you never got a chance to always see that.
There is a language barrier beyond people that read comics and the people that will watch the comics and, you know, in the movies. So while I guess, you know, his reputation is kind of restored in the comics world, I'm excited because it looks like it's just kind of going to be restored in general, like where people aren't going to have a negative connotation with Aquaman, because the big majority of people that watch these, you know, movies, they're still not people that read comics, which goes to say a lot about how great these movies are.
Sure.
But I think that's what's going to be really exciting, is that it is changing the opinion, a general opinion that we've had for years about these things.
Well, DC's biggest problem in the past has been that they could never get past Batman and Superman. And now they're getting past Batman and Superman, but they had to use Batman and Superman for that vehicle to even happen.
Do what
ironically.
Works, yeah.
So, because people need to understand, the Justice League was actually created before the Avengers. The Avengers was inspired by the Justice League. But this Justice League movie, of course, is coming after the Avengers movie. So, you know, comic book fans have been waiting for that movie for decades.
Yeah.
When the Avengers came out and it was so huge because people have been waiting decades for that film to happen. There used to be a time when Marvel was not good with movies at all, where they were on television and DC was in the movies with Superman and Batman. Those roles switched within the past 10 years. Now DC is taking over television with, you know, when they had Smallville, now they got Arrow, they got The Flash, they got Gotham, they got Supergirl. So that's all on television. Whereas back in the 80s, Marvel had the Incredible Hulk.
I don't think it's necessarily a flip. I know what you're talking about. No, I think there's a rise in DC versus Marvel.
But as far as
quality superhero movies, there's this big pickup. I mean, you still got.
But I'm telling
like
you, there is a flip. I'm giving you the history. I'm giving you the actual history. There is a flip. Marvel couldn't make a movie to save their life until Spider-Man happened. That's what I'm telling you. That's what happened. So there was a Fantastic Four film that you'll never see. that's bottled that was so bad. So
yeah, so, I know about that. A lot of this is, huh? I think all of the Fantastic Four movies that came out.
Well, I mean, but Marvel was smart and pioneering. They said, okay, we're gonna just throw it all out there and see what sticks, and it's all been working. So they have forced DC to up their game. You're right about that.
You know what I liked was that I like that Marvel, and I hope DC takes this same kind of thing where a character that isn't enough for their own movie, I'm glad that they throw them in other movies. Like Black Panther came out with, you know, Civil War, and
but he's getting his own movie, bro.
Oh no, but he's good. I'm just using him. I actually really like him, and I think he'd make a good movie. I don't know though if Aquaman would make a good own movie, but like if it's Wonder Woman, I like Aquaman.
You gotta look at Jason Momoa again, bro. You gotta look at that guy. Look at what you saw in that film.
I'll look, but I'm not part of the Arthur Curry hater club. Like, But I think in general, when they throw like two people in who maybe would make two okay movies but one great movie, they did that, and that's smart. You know, I like that.
Well, yeah, they use that vehicle to
spring off. What's is it? Black Hawk in Marvel? Black Hawk. The guy who with the metal
Falcon.
Wings. Falcon.
Huh? Yeah, the Falcon. Yeah. Who's actually the new Captain America in the comic book? Actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Steve Rogers retired at one point. Okay. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying though? Yeah. Like they added him good, or when they added Rhodey, War Machine. Yes. You know.
Yeah.
Like those were great additives to the movies.
Sure.
You know?
Definitely. But yeah, I enjoyed this film. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give it a 10. I give it an 11.
So. I do. I give it a. So. I give it a 8. No, 8.5.
I'd give it an 8. I think 8 sounds good to me. 8 sounds fine.
You know what? I'm going to go back on it. I'll give it a 9.
Okay.
Only because, like I said, I wasn't happy with the opening dialogue with Lois Lane, that desert scene. I didn't care for. She was unlikable to me in that part. But then as the movie progressed, I start liking who she was again. But yeah, I didn't care for how that part was written in the story. That's my only big complaint about the movie. Really.
So what would your guys is?
Oui, nous sommes à moto, en voiture, enfin.
Memories of his life and times with energy.
Bref, chez Carrefour.
Bad Moms is a comedy that stars Mila Kunis, Catherine Hahn, Kristen Bell. Yeah, and it's what happens when a working class mother just gets burnt out. Mm-hmm. She's just burnt out, just too much work, just too much pressure trying to get everything done for the kids. You know, and she just has a breaking point, and she winds up inspiring other moms to be rebellious too and spend time with themselves, having fun. Mila Kunis is Amy, the struggling working class mom who's married, you know, and Catherine Hahn is Carla, she's the single mom, mm-hmm. who's very outlandish.
Very ready to mingle.
Yes. Very ready to mingle. Exactly. And Kristen Bell is Kiki. She's kind of like.
I love Kristen Bell.
I know. She was the swamped, housewife mom who's just in over her head and underappreciated. Christina Applegate plays Gwendolyn, who's the head of the PTA, and she's just like a stepford wife. She is just kind of mean.
Yeah.
And Jada Pinkett plays her girlfriend, Stacy, who's one of her colleagues, who's just like one of her evil minions. And Annie Mamolo, that's what I said, plays Vicky, who's another colleague of Christina Applegate's, Gwendolyn's character. And it just goes from here. It's just what I got to tell you about this film, man. I loved it. I loved it.
I loved it too, actually.
Oh, man. It was so much funnier than I thought it was going to be. I was cracking up.
You know, can I say that I didn't think I was going to love it because I do think that in like comedies or romantic comedies,
right?
There's kind of a point lately where there's like too much funny and you're like, okay, we get it. Like I like when the circumstances are funny, but I don't like when these people are like unnaturally witty.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like a sitcom.
Uh-huh.
Like they just throw banger after banger of joke, and I'm like, okay, nobody's that funny. It's almost getting weird. But this movie was like appropriately funny, and everybody in it is so good. Kristen Bell, I love just in and of herself. Mila Kunis, duh. You know,
yeah.
Remember that 70s show?
Oh, yeah.
And Christina Applegate, oh, I loved her since Married with Children.
You and a lot of young men.
But me more.
Myself included. So, okay. Yeah, we all loved her. Yeah, that was a great show. But, yeah, I'm glad she's still here doing her thing.
Yeah. One of my favorite movies of hers was Can't. No, I'm sorry, not Can't Hardly Wait. It was The Sweetest Thing.
I saw that, but I have to watch it again because I can't remember it right now.
That's okay. That's like my aunt's all-time favorite.
Really?
I think I stole her DVD one time, and she had to buy another one. And
that's cute. That's, yeah. So your commitment was real to Christina Applegate. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, everyone did a great job. The acting was top-notch. The direction was great. This film was so much fun. They had me – it's rare where I watch a comedy that has me really laughing out loud.
Me
yes,
too.
In the theater. Yeah. They had me dying. And I got to say it, too. Catherine Hahn, who plays Carla.
That girl was...
she stole the show, man. Yeah. She was so good.
You're not the only one that feels that way, either.
Oh, man. She was so good. She was adorable. When they when they go grocery shopping, that's all we're going to say. That was beautiful.
That's a popular opinion. Because, I look up like other people's reviews. And, right. And...
They do not influence ours.
No. Well, to be clear, I watch the movie first.
Right.
Then kind of formulate my idea.
Right.
I look up the other reviews, and like more often than not, I like not end up disagreeing, but it doesn't like really like sway one way or the other, because I figure we're not here to listen to theirs. But just
there it is.
Just so that the listeners are aware.
Uh-huh.
Just about everyone else thought Catherine Hahn was the funniest or stole the show.
Oh, man. She was amazing. Yeah. She's so cute. She had me cracking up. She was amazing.
What do you feel about this? I think her and Kristen Bell together were really good. Kristen Bell's so...
All three of them had great chemistry.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was excellent casting. Kristen Bell was hilarious. Everything was... Yeah, the dialogue in this was really good when they were talking about the circumcised penis.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's in the trailer. Well, part of it is. You get more in the movie, and that was so funny. I was cracking up. Yeah, it was. It's a good. I mean, because the directors let you in on like
tidbits.
Of women talking. Yeah. And what women might talk about when
don't
you're
you
not
love
around.
That? Don't you love movies where it kind of exposes what women would talk about?
So I thought that was really cool that we got a chance to be in the bathroom and hear what they're talking about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So that was cool. So yeah, they did a good job with that. But yeah, it was very funny. It was a good show. I mean, and there are overall themes in it too about taking work seriously but not too seriously, making sure that your kids are well-adjusted people, and that they're good, kind people. So you get those things in this film.
The ones that I got from this, which I really enjoyed, were be you.
Yes.
And don't be too worried about details that may not necessarily matter.
Oh, and excuse me. They were talking about the uncircumcised penis, not circumcised penis.
I was going to say, I thought it was funny. Like,
yeah,
that,
it's
that,
uncircumcised penis.
That whole thing you said to me sounded like a joke just now, because you were like, uncircumcised penis, some of it's in the trailer. Well, part of it is. And I'm like,
that's even funny. I didn't even think about that. You're right. Wasn't even trying, man. When I don't try, they laugh, man. When I try, crickets. I'm telling you. So you already know. But yeah, what you were saying, though, about the theme again, about...
What I took from the theme, number one, I love the fact that you finally see Christina Applegate as a bad, like technically the antagonist.
Yeah. The villain, yeah.
But
the antagonist, yeah.
Because I don't even know if she's a villain, but she's just against the main people, and I like that. Yeah. She does a good job in that role.
Yes.
She's such a hot mom. But
you're funny.
The overall theme that I really enjoyed from this movie was do things in your own way, because they tend to come out better. Because they fall in kind of natural sync with you.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then it's also about being appreciated, too. So for who you are.
Because
Mila Kunis's character, Amy, wasn't feeling appreciated on more than one front. That's all we'll say.
No, I agree. I won't say any more, but I can I also say that I do see where you're coming from. I kind of gleaned a variation of that.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to appreciate yourself.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, that's probably the biggest theme that, in this film. Learn to appreciate yourself and basically stop and smell the roses. You don't really get that when you watch the film.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, yeah, but that's what it boils down to when you watch this film, is that it's really about, stopping to smell the roses, appreciating what you have in your life.
And be a bad mom, because it rules.
Yeah, it really does. But on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give the film?
9.
I'm gonna have to give it a 9 as well. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. It was awesome.
I'm pushing even maybe like 9.25 because comedies to me lately have tried too hard. That's the, you know.
But, oh yeah.
But
man.
This one though,
oh, yeah. Didn't have to.
Yeah, this one didn't have to. They were it just was, worked. Like Mike and Dave. Some of it, you know, like, do you remember the what's?
Oh, I enjoyed it, but yeah, but some of it was a little over the top.
You're right.
Bad Moms didn't have to really go over the top. It was
exactly.
just funny. Yeah.
Right. It was.
Yeah,
it
that's
just
the
worked.
Difference. Yeah, I agree.
So to me, it was right up there.
Okay. Okay. Well,
thank you for listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Best of Movies podcast. If you like what you heard, you can find more of us on Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and GoldenStateMediaConceptsPodcast.com. We're everywhere on the net, so check us out. And have a good evening.